Hi everyone, I'm Sean Maloney from Nutraceuticals World. Today we're talking about women in leadership with representatives from the Organic and Natural Health Association. So I'm happy to welcome Karen Howard, CEO and Executive Director of the Organic and Natural Health Association. Hi Karen, how are you?
Great, it's good to be here.
Thanks for joining us. We're also joined by Naomi Whittle, CEO of Naomi Whittle Brands and President of the Organic and Natural Health Association. Hi Naomi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sean. Excited to be here.
Great. I'm also grateful to have with us Sandra Lee, CEO of NJ Labs, who's also a board member of the Organic and Natural Health Association. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, good morning.
Great. So starting with some news, Naomi, in March of 2023, you were recently elevated from your seat on the board of the Organic and Natural Health Association to president of the board of directors. What drew you to this organization? What has your experience been so far? And what are your goals coming into this new role?
I think initially what drew me to this organization is the vision and the mission of Organic and Naturals. I think there is no other organization, association within our industry that really focuses on the importance of supply chain, the transparency in supply chain, the connectivity between the consumer and the different companies and the brands. And I was so just thrilled to see the work that Karen and the entire Organic and Naturals group have done, that when they first asked me to join the board, I was incredibly grateful and excited, because this is the kind of work in my mind that is most important within our industry.
Now, Sandra, you were also recently appointed to the board of Organic and Natural. Same question, what drew you to this association and what are your goals?
To be honest, Karen, first time meeting her, she wore this beautiful red outfit and this red lipstick. And I was like, I need to know more about her. And when I met her and she told me about the organization she was working with, it was amazing. And the more I heard it, the more I felt like the mission and the vision statement for ONN aligned more and more with what I wanted to do, not just personally, but definitely professionally. And, you know, from a testing point, we're all about accuracy, traceability, transparency, quality, absolutely about quality, because there's so much stuff out there in this world. And I have three children that I raise on my own. And I'm constantly, and Naomi and I had touched on this too together, we're constantly worried about if it's healthy for our family, if it's healthy for our loved ones in the long term, what are we putting into our bodies? So that kind of drew me initially to ONN. And the more I got to meet everybody, everyone came from so many different backgrounds and different companies and different industries. I said, what a great platform to unite and harmonize so many different avenues.
Yeah. And Karen, how does a more diverse board better position the association to achieve its goals?
Well, I couldn't have had two better intros on that topic than these two, but I will add that when we first started as, you know, a trade association, we were committed to defining natural before the government tried. And the interesting thing about that, and it was really my entire day job interview, was that it was all about the consumer. And that struck me to, you know, down to my core, right? That everything that we were doing was by the consumer. And over these last almost 9 years now, the issues have changed so dramatically. And as you hear Sandy talk about the fact that she has children, Naomi has young children, thankfully mine are mostly out of the house. But the reality about our work is that it's really designed to ensure the future of the planet. For the purpose of healthy people. You know, most people look at it as like, we really need healthy people, but it's like, you're going to have a healthy planet before you can have healthy people. So our divergence into so many different types of issues that impact that requires, I mean, we have an amazing, as Sandra said, we have an amazing array of members, because we do represent the entirety of the supply chain, which is not just raw ingredient suppliers and manufacturers and brands. It's also consumer organizations. And retailers, so that having this extra, not just expertise, which is enormous, but also that heart that comes to the table, and to be able to really hone in on how we can be effective at that mission and vision statement is so much more powerful when you have a diverse set of brains, you know, around that and world experiences. So I think that has been the greatest strength of us being able to now pursue so many really great projects with just another layer of expertise, integrity, and passion.
Great. Yeah, I have young kids too. So I also have a vested interest in the future of the planet and health and wellness for sure. Maybe looking more broadly, how do diversity, equity, and inclusion impact the culture and health of organizations and ultimately the bottom line? Naomi, do you want to maybe start with that one?
Sure. I am happy to start just to share a couple of my thoughts around that. Certainly, supply chain is very much about all of those elements, diversity, inclusion. You know, these are all aspects that really create a strong and resilient supply chain. And I think with what we've gone through globally with the pandemic, the importance of creating resilience within supply chain is even more of an issue today. And so it is important for any association, and certainly I'm really excited and proud to be part of what Karen's vision is for us at Organic and Naturals, and that is creating more of this inclusion, more of this diversity, and with that comes an increased resilience. And so when you look at our vision, I think it's so brilliantly put together how Karen, how you've really masterminded this. It's, you know, our vision is about having a vital and resilient world that honors our resources and our shared future. So how do you accomplish that vision? Well, you create diversity, you create inclusion. And that's what I see sort of as the going forward activities.
And I'll add, I mean, I think one of the best examples of that has been, we've all learned a lot through the supply chain challenges, but one of the things that we really did learn was the impact of health deficiencies, nutritional deficiencies, and underserved populations and people of color has had a dramatic impact on where we are today. So when we created the Get On My Level campaign directed towards African Americans and people of color, it was extremely powerful and timely message, primarily around vitamin D. Now, I know we're known for doing a lot of work around vitamin D, but if you had to get down to its basic core, you know, not you can't eat your way to a great vitamin D level, right? So it's a, I think it's a really good indicative story about ONN's commitment, because I think I love that all of our members can be financially successful because of our mission. To me, that is an absolute extreme requirement. I love more that they understand that by being able to do the right thing in a great way, that they are improving their bottom line and they're expanding our base in terms of the consumers that we reach and our impact on what we can do for global health. I think that extends to how we treat our supply chain and some of our companies that do international work and how they're treating the organizations that they're partnered with too. And that's something that we're looking into exploring more.
Great. I'm interested. I wonder if you could share some challenges and hurdles you've faced and had to overcome personally in your careers. Karen, I wonder if you could maybe.
You know, it's unfair because I'm the oldest in the room, but and I started my career on Capitol Hill in the 80s. But we really don't need to go back that far unless we're sitting in a different environment. And then I'm happy to tell stories. What I will say is, I mean, I've been in this particular industry for over just about 20 years now, starting with the naturopaths, which was such an amazing place because it was all women. The leadership was at least half women, if not more. And so I learned, I cut my teeth in this kind of work in this industry around some really talented and wonderful people who use these products with their patients all the time. And moving over into the trade association was an interesting eye-opening awakening. And we weren't exactly the most welcome addition to the family. So it was interesting to be in a situation where I had to prove myself all over again. And with a new organization, when clearly we don't need any more organizations. Now, since then, I can't even count the number of organizations that have come in, which is great. Everybody has their own specialty. I really see that, you know, being being of high integrity, completely open to disclosure, direct and honest with what it was we were building and why, kind of won over the hearts and minds of industry in a lot of ways. And I just think that's testament to women knowing, for the most part, or at least I hope most of us do, why we, you know, having a decision about what our intention is in the world. And because we are doing things like raising children and, you know, running households along with everything else we do, it's important for us to spend our time wisely. And you really are forced into spending your time wisely when you take on the work that at least these three women on this screen have done. And I think it pays off. And that's really what I noticed. It just took a while longer than I thought it would.
Great. Sandra, I wonder if you might like to share a bit about what challenges you've had to overcome in your career.
So not a lot of people know about this about me, but I moved here from South Korea when I was very young, about 5 or 6 years old. And I came from a family that didn't have education. And that was one of the biggest challenges, is growing up, not having that support, not having the understanding that college is critical, you need to get good grades, and having to navigate all that kind of on my own when my parents barely spoke English. So having that support system was probably one of the biggest hurdles in building that support system. And that's one of the things that I wanted to address as well, as we get older, when we look back on our lives, we're supposed to give back positive. And that's what I really liked about ONN and talking to Karen and getting to know everybody on the board as well, is everybody was giving back. No matter what hurdles they have gone through, they were coming back to ONN and it was circling back in a very positive manner. And that really attracted me to Karen to develop not just a professional relationship, but a personal relationship. And having people like Karen supporting me, getting through life, even the last 2 years, 3 years that I've known Karen, we've all struggled so much. And so we never stop struggling. Just because I got past my 20s and my 30s in my 40s, it doesn't stop. And so I think that's one of the biggest hurdles that we face as women, is that we're constantly having to overcome. And Karen talked about that a little bit. When you're changing gears, when you're pivoting in your careers, you feel like you're starting all over. But when you really think about it, we're not truly starting over, because we've continued to build our support system over the years.
Yeah. Speaking of giving back, it might be a good segue, Karen. I know that Organic and Natural Health has partnered with William Franklin Foundation to support the HBCUs and colleges and people who are looking to enter the natural health and healthcare market. I wonder if you could maybe touch on where that program has gone, and what you're working on that front.
Yes, I mean, it's been this too came out of really pandemic issues and the campaign on vitamin D. But I got introduced to the foundation, who are primarily, it's a growing board and a growing organization. They're primarily graduates of Howard, which is the HB, historically Black College and University here in Washington, D.C., where the vice president graduated from. And my coach, my boot camp coach, happens to be an HBCU grad from Howard. So when I learned about what they were doing, and I started thinking about, when you talk about, you know, where are the deficiencies in terms of representation in our industry, and how do we get this information out? It's one thing to go and do the vitamin D campaign, which is a huge piece of that, right? But it's another thing to recognize, and others are doing this work incredibly well too. But we focused in on, how can we teach students what we are and help them achieve their goals? So the board agreed that we would raise $50,000 in scholarship funds over 3 years, which seems like a very small amount in the scheme of things, but we managed to beat that and get it done in around, 18 months, something like that. So we're still raising funds for them, and I'm constantly looking for ways to be able to support the board and what they're doing. And we have our own fund, which is the Organic and Natural Health Fund, just a catch-all, so that it is a nice generic name, so that when everyone makes a donation and there's a tab down, that goes towards our total. And I think, you know, what I'd love to see over time is to be able to build the scholarship program, you know, to be able to take some of these students who are in all the sciences and marketing and going to law school and med school and everything else, and to introduce them to our industry personally and be able to do that and add that element to it. So I think it plays into the issues around STEM. It plays into the issues around, you know, building the legal profession, which has been typically white. I mean, it really has the ability to have some dramatic input into how we can broaden out our base of support in terms of having people, having a diverse workforce. And then subsequently, I take health to be completely personal. So anytime I'm lobbying on the Hill or anywhere else, it's always about, you know, whatever I'm saying to you, you're taking in. It's not like I'm talking to you about pipeline gas rates. So I think that all of these little bits and pieces have a huge impact on our ability to actually change the health and future of populations and the planet as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear that you were able to meet your goal so quickly and that it's ongoing.
Not done.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening, it might not air before, but hopefully at our What's Up with Supps fundraiser that we're doing next week at Supply Side East, mm-hmm. you know, we're hoping to bring in another $5,000 or $6,000. So all
great.
Good.
What advice would you give to women who are starting out in their careers or who may feel like they've hit a ceiling and are encountering resistance as they try to get to the next level? Naomi, I wonder if you might want to start on that one.
I think for any woman who's looking to get to that next level or who is starting out, if there's a focus on the reason why the individual's doing what they're doing. Like, I really appreciated, Sandra, what you just said about, you know, you moved from South Korea and you didn't have an infrastructure that supported education, but you knew that education was core to your career path. So I think for anyone, it's really about, first and foremost, being really clear about what it is that are your objectives and where you want to go, and then staying dedicated to that drive, that particular focus and mission. I have goals that I'm working on that are 5 years out, and every single week, I have a working session with this incredible woman that actually worked for me when I was the founder and CEO of Reservage. She was in my marketing department, and she's an incredibly brilliant strategic thinker. And so she and I have made a commitment that every week we do this one-on-one, and we just focus on my five-year goal and the steps that it's going to take for us to get there. And it's just the two of us. And so being able to stay dedicated and focused to whatever your purpose might be, to me is sort of like the key advice that I would give anyone, because that also allows the individual to ignite that passion and that drive that's inside, that you can't take that away, right? And so that enables us to move in various ways that are sort of like beyond, in many cases, certainly my personal dreams. I mean, like you, Sandra, I moved from another country. Now, I moved from the UK, but the cultural differences around business, for example, in England versus what it is here, and the way we have to take care of our health here, because, you know, unlike the mission that Organic and Naturals has that Karen set forth, which is really to unite the consumer with the corporations to transform the business practices, that's not really what happens here because we live in such a capitalist society. And so we can go shopping, grocery shopping, and see, oh, this says natural, this says, you know, good for you, whatever. And you turn it around and you're looking at 42 grams of sugar. And that's what is being encouraged for you to put to your children. And you think about how incredibly busy we all are, and especially the women in families. You know, we're working, we're running our careers, on average, we're spending 10 to 15 hours at home doing domestic work. And it's like, we want to feel confident that we're making the right choices for our family. And we don't live in an environment that really promotes that. So I think the more focus we each have around what is our purpose, what it is that we're doing, and then working, you know, with colleagues, mentors, sponsors. I'm a big believer in sponsorship over mentorship. There's a lot of ways to sort of elevate what it is that people are looking to do in their careers.
Great. Thank you for sharing. Sandra, do you want to build on that? Do you have advice for women who may be starting out or sort of feel like they're meeting resistance?
So to step back just a little bit, one of my dreams, one of my goals is to become a teacher. I am not a teacher today, but I feel that I can use my everyday professional life to teach the young mind, my children, and those that I come in touch with. So one of the things I've always wanted to do as well was to educate the consumers on why testing was so important. And during COVID, I think that's when it came to light. People start to wonder, what is testing? How does one test for certain things? Is this good for me? Is this going to help my health? Is this going to help me survive COVID and the pandemic? So I had wanted to be able to create a platform where I can share and kind of bring down the curtains and have transparency more in what does a testing lab do? Because when people ask me, hey, what did you graduate? What degree did you graduate with? And I say, oh, I graduated with a chemistry degree and biochem degree. And the first response I usually get is, oh, like, how did you even survive that? That's, you know, I hate chemistry. I said, look, I am a huge proponent of better living through chemistry just because chemistry is around us organically and naturally, right? And I started out in this industry doing cancer drug research, and I have been going through biopsy after biopsy for multiple different types of cancers the last 5 years. So it's been a struggle for me. And I wanted to share what it is behind the scenes and to create a platform for people to learn and understand chemistry. But in order to do that, it was very, very difficult because I didn't have three things. Okay. And the three things that I can give advice for those who are struggling to take the next step in their career is network. I didn't know how to network, and learning how to network is one of the most important soft skills that you will need in order to get to the next level. And it's easier to say, don't be afraid to actually put that fear aside and to go up to people and network and put yourself out there. But that is one piece of advice that I can definitely give, not just women, but young people in general and of any age, right? So if you haven't learned networking at a younger age and you need to learn it today, it doesn't matter. It's a skill that you can learn. And in order to do that, you need to protect your peace, right? Build your support system and lean on the people who can help you get there, and to seek out those people who could take you to the next step. You don't have to do it alone. And that's one of the things I've learned the hard way. When I tried to do things on my own, I didn't get anywhere. When I started leaning on people like Karen, and hopefully now in the future with Naomi, I get to work with her, we can grow and we can really take the next step. And honestly, you don't have to wait until you're 25 years old or graduated college. This is something you can start today.
Now, I didn't have any mentors in my 20s.
That's why you're so amazing today, Karen.
Maybe. I don't know about that. But it does inspire me to be a mentor. I like being available. The best compliment I've ever gotten was that somebody told me one time I was a woman's woman. I was like, I never thought that would be the case because, you know, I was it like for the longest time and almost everything I did, right? I just did the ones like the first one, this, the first one, that, and that never made any sense to me and never cared. I just kept doing what I was doing. So to be able to have the ability to be a mentor and to be able to participate in ways that I and support people that I didn't know I could do has been a great joy. And just even to be able to write people's stories. I've had the ability to interview some of the most amazing CEOs, including Sandra, in terms of their journey. And I think all of those things are really important for people to be able to hear at their early ages. And then when you're climbing the corporate ladder and you're going to find, everybody's going to find it, male, female, or otherwise, that they're going to get stuck at some point. And to be able to have a support system and a group that appears that can be there to sort of walk you through certain things may change the outcome, may not, but are certainly going to make life a lot easier to manipulate.
Yeah. No, Karen, you mentioned STEM earlier. What's your assessment of progress made for the inclusion of women and people of color in science?
Slow. I mean, I think Sandra can probably speak to this better than I. I will say that I love the JEDI component of this. I'm more on the food side, you know, and I hope that we do more of that on the dietary supplement side as well. And I do think that things are changing, but I think it's a pretty slow pace. And I'm not the expert in these issues. I wish I were, but I grew up in Southwest Missouri, so I didn't have any experience with anyone of color until I came to Washington, D.C. But I've been here most of my life, so I guess I'm okay now. So I would say that I see changes. I definitely see changes. And I think the more scientific we get, the more ability that we'll have to be more diverse. But I'm going to kick it over to Sandra and see, you know, you live it on a day-to-day basis with STEM. I'm in politics.
I do, actually. My company is a small company, maybe about 40, 42 people. And we have so many different cultures at my company. And when I joined in 2013, it was so difficult. Let me tell you, I felt like I was butting heads with everybody. Nobody could communicate well. And it was just cutthroat competition. There was no teamwork. Maybe there was like little groups or little cliques of teamwork, but overall as a company, the work culture was not there. And I worked incredibly, I mean, I scratched my head, I pulled out my hair, I cried. I was just like, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to improve it to include JEDI as part of our work culture, not just for men and women, but just different cultural backgrounds, different religion, and coming together in one company and trying to get 40 people from all different directions lined up in this path was very, very difficult. And we worked with an amazing coach, a professional coach. She took the initiative to hear us out first as a company individually. I mean, she met with every single person at my company, and then she met with the leadership team, and she really immersed herself into our culture and who we are and what we stand for and what we're trying to do. Ultimately, a testing lab is the last defense to the consumers. So I felt that our work was incredibly important, even though we're a small company and a small piece in this industry. Incredibly important to protect the consumers and our family, right? So I made sure that each person, it took the last 5 years to do this, but each person's mental health was there, that it was important that they got the support. And I didn't differentiate between men and women. Our leadership is 50-50, men and women from different cultures. So I emphasize that it doesn't matter how you look and what kind of background you're from, you have something to offer to this company. That's why you're here. That's why you're part of our team. It's not just my team, it's our team. And it's been a long road, but through changing the biases and working with people's biases and understanding where they're coming from and creating a no excuse culture, they've learned to depend on each other and support each other. And we're so incredibly proud to be part of ONN. It's our next step is to expand that horizon, open doors for not just myself or my leadership team, but every single person at my company. It doesn't matter what their job is or job description. And that was one of the things that circling back to the first question that you asked, Sashan, why I was so excited to join. I'm creating an opportunity for networking for everybody at my company, not just myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine it's hard to get everybody on the same page at a company, regardless of all the different cultures and backgrounds that people come into to the table with. So that's great that you had somebody come in and actually talk to everybody. That's interesting. You know, women have also been underrepresented in clinical research. Do you see more awareness of that issue or action on that front?
But Sean, I think, certainly things have changed and are continuing to change in that area. It's a big part of what's going on in the scientific communities. And yes, look, it makes sense when you're doing a clinical study to say, well, it's so much more difficult to research with women because you have to obviously have, certain days of the month with the menstrual cycle. And so there's so many additional factors, but it's definitely changing right now. And, just on a personal note, we're seeing such transformation in women's health that's going on. And it's really exciting. I have told Karen this in the past, but it was 2 years ago that QVC, which has, a customer base of over 10 million and 97% of them are women, they called me up and they said, we really want to focus on the nutritional products that work specifically for women. Like, what are the types of, are there different types of vitamin D, for example, that would be more beneficial? And these were the kinds of questions that they had. And you see that coming more and more through the retailers, through the consumer requests. And I think we're going to really start to see this, what I call a virtuous cycle of growth and transformation. And it's very exciting. The woman's body is so dynamic, and there's so much that we don't yet know. And it's just a really exciting time, at least from my point of view, to be a female and to be learning more and more about our health and our well-being.
I looked up Nutraceutical World yesterday, last month's stories about women's health. There were, I want to say 12. And then I looked up how many there were with men, and there were 3.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're on a new horizon. I just heard somebody say that the original Alzheimer's research was all done on men because women have hormones and they just couldn't deal with it. So from a conventional perspective, I think they're probably way farther behind than we are. I mean, when I worked with the naturopaths, first of all, yes, most of them, by far the majority were women, and they were all treating women and families. So it was for me, it was a totally new world of health conditions specifically related to women in different ways and practices. And so I always felt like they were the pioneers of this subject. And now I've watched over the years as the supplement companies have begun to realize, we've always known that was our customer, right? We always know that it's the head of the household. She's spending all the money and she's managing all the healthcare needs. And yet the products had not kept pace. We've seen it with babies and food. Now we're seeing it comes like skyrocketing on the dietary supplement side. And it's long overdue and totally delightful to watch.
Yeah.
I think there's more availability from 5-10 years ago to today. You see it all over social media as well, women advocating for women. And as we step into these roles, I feel that we are opening that avenue as well. Because if we continue to be afraid, if we continue to not create and advocate for ourselves and to create products that are for women by women, I don't think that we're going to get very far. There are men. I'm not saying that there are no men who won't support this, but there are men and women equally who want a part in this. And I think, Naomi, what you did with your company is amazing. I was reading about you ever since I heard about you, and what you did to travel and to learn and to educate, not just yourself, but everybody who works with you, everybody who comes in touch with you.
And I was supported by this industry, right? So it wasn't like I had my personal passion. I had issues with supply chain. I had issues with contamination of nutritional supplements that I had consumed that had a huge impact on me. Mm-hmm. And I was embraced by an incredible industry when I launched my company, Reservage. And our company was, according to NBJ, the fastest growing mid-sized company in the natural products industry in 2012. Now, when I sat down with Tom Arts, because I was so curious, I'm like, how did this happen? And what does this mean? And how important is supply chain really to the consumer? Because it seems like it is here. And when we looked back, we couldn't find another company that had grown more quickly previously. Now, companies have done amazing things and they've grown much more quickly since then. But it was a really exciting moment for me to realize that, wow, I'm part of an industry that is about creating healthy solutions where consumers can partner with us, where the scientific community can partner with us. And that's why I think, you know, Sean, more than anything, organic and naturals is the association that can really help us as an industry to elevate to that next level. Like, we've had such an influx of consumers over the past couple of years through COVID, through people understanding I have a microbiome, my immune health matters, like vitamin D. Wow, I am low in vitamin D. How do I get my levels up? Where do I get it from? Oh, the foods aren't enough. Like, all of these questions are areas of focus that organic and naturals has had for the past, how many years, Karen? Nine?
Almost nine.
Almost 9 years. So I would just say, you know, the importance of us coming together in the same way that I had the privilege to come together with other corporations within this industry, collaboration is definitely considered the new competition. It's like you get way more out of collabs. Collaborations are seen in all different types of industries all over the place. And organic and naturals is really that tool, in my mind, for companies within our industry, for brands. Like, I have a brand. The amount of value that I get by being part of organic and naturals, the rate of return that I get from my time spent at our conference in January is, I can't compare it to any other event that I spend my time at. And that's really as a brand, you know. So I'm very excited for this podcast. I can't wait for people to listen to it, to learn from it, to start to understand the value that Karen really brings to the table, because you can't just like state, you know, these are this is our mission, and not have the kind of background that Karen has on Capitol Hill. Like, we're able to have meaningful impact and also lead in categories that the consumer cares about. So for a brand to be able to have access to all parts of the supply chain, it's invaluable.
And now you see what happens when you have a diverse board that includes Naomi and Sandra on it. So now you begin to see why it works, because it takes a village for sure. And unfortunately, our village extends just beyond, you know, what either one of them do professionally, and it includes that entirety of the supply chain. And it's that kind of creative energy, talent, personal commitment to be on the board of ONN that makes the difference in terms of how we can be successful and how fast we can get to our mission so we can expand it further. And I applaud them for their commitment to what we're doing. And I applaud all my board members, especially the ones who've been there since the beginning, for sticking it out. You know, it hasn't always been the easiest thing to do for a variety of reasons. And we've been bold in our ability to make changes, say that didn't work, let's try it a different way. Don't think that when I didn't go to the board the first time and say, hey, there's a lot of men around this table, they didn't just go, yeah, let's fix it. Like, they did. I mean, they were all about adding all of that kind of energy that you need to make the table more interesting, more dynamic, more creative, and even more committed and passionate. So I keep the doors open. I opened them, but the board is really the linchpin in terms of what makes this thing tick.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that said, we do live in a polarized society. What are your expectations? How concerned are you that principles like diversity, equity, inclusion, or environmental social governance can be sort of divisive? Do you envision them becoming broadly accepted business practices, or do we still have a long way to go?
I think it's going to vary. I think some of these things are going to ebb and flow. some of them are going to be more regulated. The ESG conversation is actually going to be a function like accounting principles. Mm-hmm. So for those who are publicly traded and are looking for investors, it's going to be a requirement. And I'm watching in that development. We've been actively engaged in those conversations. How that pans out for us, I have great hope. I really do believe that companies who are members of the Organic and Natural Health Association are already so committed to that, that their ESG scores could just basically rise them to the top. And other companies will start to slough away in that regard. DEI is always a little more tricky. I mean, it's, you're dealing with, those are principles and standards and measurements. DEI is always going to involve a little more personality to it. And I do believe I'm seeing things in the industry that indicate there is a very open conversation that's being had. I love that. I love the people who are doing that work, and I'm always there to help them in any way I can. So incrementally, I think back to all my years, things have changed pretty dramatically, all for the good in the most part. But there, yes, we do live in difficult times, and we have economic challenges that sort of complicate that story, and we will just have to continue. For me, it's all about my intention in the world, and that's to serve 7 generations, 3 before, 3 after, and the one I'm in. And as long as I'm doing that work, I'm solid.
Living proof. You are living proof.
Great. Well, I really appreciate everybody here talking and sharing. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Naomi. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Pleasure to do this. Thank you for organizing it and putting it together.
Yeah, my pleasure.